Welcome to the Grow People Podcast. That is Pastor Jason. My name is David Stein.
Been waiting for months to say that.
Welcome. Pastor Jason, of course, lead pastor at Revolution Church. I am your discipleship pastor, and we're back.
We're back.
The annual hiatus of the Grow People Podcast for your preaching break 2 years ago was your sabbatical.
Yeah.
Last year, I took some time off. Mm-hmm. So there's always a... there's always a season of people clamoring for the next episode.
Yeah.
And I don't say that sarcastically. I've had a lot of people come, hey, when's the podcast coming back?
Yeah.
Like they saw you preaching a couple weeks ago. Oh, is there a new podcast? No, he hasn't even unpacked.
Yes. Well, we were going to do a podcast last week.
Oh, that's right. That's
but
right.
But then yeah. Lindsay's grandmother passed away. Mm-hmm. And so we had to take another trip back to Texas.
I'm sure.
So I do apologize for the delay.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that. But we're back.
We're back.
No more hiatus. And we'll have
that
to,
we know of.
We'll have to talk through what that looks like next summer. You know, maybe we'll record some stuff.
Yeah.
Special guests. I don't know.
What I even told Lindsay this morning, I don't like the fact that we take off. Well, I shouldn't say that. I like that we take off. We need to take off. But yeah, as far as the regularity of the Grow People Podcast, I always feel bad if we get off schedule, you know, cause I do think it's a valuable thing. We enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, we do have to figure that out.
Yeah. I was thinking when you were gone, I should have just booked guests.
Yeah. I think you can for sure. You know, and we can still talk about, you know, the sermons, you know,
Talking about the sermons over the summer would have been great. Cause you know, you started out in Psalms.
Yeah.
And then Pastor Chad did Psalm 51, and then
Dave did 51.
I'm sorry. Pastor Chad did Psalm 91.
Yeah.
And then Pastor Matt did 139 and 22. Yeah. I did 27, and then Dave Arbogast did
51.
51. They were so good.
It was really good, you know, and I'm so grateful for you guys teaching. Did a fantastic job, and it's so funny. I don't know if I should say funny, like it's a, because it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but there's kind of this misnomer out there sometimes with pastors in preaching. It's like, what if you go away and they like people better than they like you? You know, like I'm not worried about that. One, I'm not saying like, oh, I'm better, but what I'm saying is I want good people teaching.
Right.
Like the point is not to, we say all the time, the point is not to hear Pastor Jason. It's not to hear Jason. It's to hear Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I'm so grateful to you, Matt, Dave, Chad, like we've got great teachers to where, the teaching ministry of the church continues, you know? And you know, I love this church. I know people love me. Like it's not what if they like Matt more than they like you? You know, like, I hope you like Matt more.
Yeah.
You know, like Matt's awesome. I have said this many times. I think Matt is just as good, if not better than me.
He's
I love that.
He's a wonderful communicator.
Yeah. Incredible. He's very gifted and you all are. And so I think it's so important, to change it up. And again, even just from a, it's good for multiple reasons. Number one, it's good because what I don't want, and this is kind of a little bit of a derail.
That's what this show is.
It is. Yes. it's good. It's healthy for a church. And we'll talk about this with Voices. You know, it's healthy for a church to have a strong teaching ministry that's not just tied to necessarily the personality of one person. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I have a personality, I have a style, I have a way I teach. I'm still the majority teacher here. Mm-hmm. And so that is going to influence a lot of things,
right,
which it should. I mean, dads, you know, of a house influence things in a certain way.
Right.
That's good. But at the same time, it's healthy for a church not to get so used to one voice, you know, or one personality, or one style even. Like, my preaching professors in seminary were even talking about like, it's so important for the same communicator to change up the style so that people don't just get used to, you know, back then, like 3 points in a prayer,
right,
you know, kind of thing. So I think that's healthy and good. And, and not only from that perspective, but just strategically long-term, like Lord willing, I'm still pastoring this church for the next 20 years. Well, teaching four times a week can take a toll on you. And so, you know, the idea of me preaching four times a week for 52 weeks in a year is just insane.
Yeah.
You know, teaching over 200 times, my body literally can't sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now I teach around 40 times a year, 40 weekends a year. Our goal is even to back that down a little bit.
Right.
You know, most of my mentors, guys older than me that I talk to on a regular basis, have said 33 to 35 is good, a healthy, sustainable rhythm. So again, I'm so grateful for you guys to know that, again, the teaching is good, it's solid, and it allows me to take breaks, you know. And I try to do that strategically even throughout the school mm-hmm. year as well, not just in the summer. You know, used to, my rule was I don't want to preach more than 6 weeks,
mm-hmm.
6 to 7 weeks before I take a break. Well, that was my rule in my 30s.
Yeah.
Now it's probably like, most pastors that are mentors to mine, they go about every 2 to 3 weeks, mm-hmm. 2 to 4 maybe, and then take a break. And that doesn't mean I take a break from working,
right?
You know, but just give my voice a break, mm-hmm. give my mind a break, my adrenaline, glands a break. You know,
it's stressful.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a toll on the body. You have said this many times that preaching is the adrenaline of a car wreck.
Yeah, and 30-minute sermon,
and you do that four times.
Yeah,
four times in a weekend, and that is. That is an interesting concept of the four times in a weekend that you're preaching live.
Mm-hmm.
When I was inviting neighbors to come see when I was preaching, and they said, "Hey, what time's the gathering?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, there's one on Thursday night, and then there's three on Sunday." Well, who preaches the other ones?
Yeah, I preach them all.
All of them.
Yeah,
all four. But you get into a rhythm, and
you do.
You know, by 11:15, I get it.
Yes. Yeah. Oh gosh. By, I would say about 12, you know, I'm past, like I'm coming down, you know, off that adrenaline and, probably I would say in between 12 and 12:30 on a Sunday is when Lindsay gets the most nervous, you know,
what's he going to say?
What am I going to say now? You know, cause I've already done it. You know, twice, this is the third time. And you do start getting delirious, you know, because the amount of mental concentration it takes mm-hmm. to say like, yeah. hold on, have I already said this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did I say this in this sermon already? Or did I say this in the other two mm-hmm. already?
Yeah.
You know? So the 11:15 takes a lot of concentration and emotional mm-hmm. energy. Anyway, all that, I'm not saying any of that as a complaint. I love my job. I love what I get to do. I love this church. I love that people miss the podcast when it's gone. Yeah. I love that people miss when I'm not preaching. Mm-hmm. All that is, you know, that's great.
They miss it and they get mad at me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they take it all out on you. You know, like I do. But again, I think it's so good and healthy. And then not only that, but then our worship weekends, mm-hmm. like I love that it's kind of become now too. Like when we first started those years and years ago, I don't even remember now when, we weren't nervous, but it was like a little extended worship, you know, the gospel is still preached because mm-hmm. we're taking communion,
right?
But it's not, you know, a normal sermon. It's a truncated sermon, you know, cause we're taking communion. So the gospel is still being preached. There's a message, but kind of the thought early on was like people wouldn't like it, or you know, and there were a few people that were like, oh, there's not a sermon today. But now, what's cool mm-hmm. over the years of doing it, people hate missing those weekends.
Yeah,
you know, because obviously we do baptisms as well, so it's a very celebratory weekend. So that was the last weekend, you know, before I preached.
It was so good. We baptized almost 60 people.
I was going to say, yeah, with 50 something people.
Yeah. I lost count because there were so many spontaneous baptisms.
Yeah.
And not, oh, my sister did it, I want to do it now.
Yeah.
It was, oh, wow, my sister is taking that step.
Yeah.
I haven't taken that step yet.
Yeah.
There were, you know, so many parents baptizing their kids.
Yeah.
One story, and I did share this when I baptized this woman, she had come to the office several years ago and she's Jewish, and came to see me to talk through, hey, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I talked to her for a while, and then I got Lindsay mm-hmm. to come in and pray with her.
Yeah.
And she trusted Jesus several years ago.
Yeah.
Well, she got baptized a couple weeks ago.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And had so many family members. I got to meet her parents.
Are they still Jewish?
Yes, they are.
Wow. And they came.
Yeah.
Wow. They came.
And they said, this place is really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah. So God is moving. One night. Just
oh, incredible, man.
770 plus students.
That's incredible. Our student team just knocked it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was so well done.
Yeah.
Because it was, that number of people is overwhelming.
Yes.
But that wave in the kids' lobby just kept coming through.
Kept coming, man.
Kept coming through.
And I was telling this to Lindsay, because I was in Canton that night to see it. What I love about the direction that our team has taken and not that any of this is bad, but back in the day we used to bring in artists, mm-hmm. you know, we'd bring in a rap artist or a band or, you know, something like that. And those are good. Like we mm-hmm. want to support that. We want to support preachers and, you know, and we'll still do that occasionally. But what I love about one night was it's just kind of like what we do ramped up.
Exactly.
You know, we'll have games and food and stuff, but it's not like they weren't coming to hear this rapper or, mm-hmm. or hear this band, you know, it's just like an emphasis of like, no, it's our students leading in worship. It's our team. It's our communicators.
Yep.
So to me, I just kind of watching, sitting in the lobby in Canton and watching the madhouse that mm-hmm. it was, in the best of ways. It's just incredible, man. I mean, I teared up. I got verklempt a few times.
The R is silent.
Yes. Is it?
Verklempt.
Is it?
Yes.
That's not how it was on Saturday Night Live.
He was wrong. Oh. Mike Myers was wrong.
Which is quite interesting coming from you talking about the R being silent.
Hey, you'll be happy to know that even while you were gone, people made fun of the way I say certain words.
Yes, yes. I did see this the other day, and I'll probably work this into a sermon, but I finally got like verifiable evidence, like a study mm-hmm. that was done. So, you know, you can take this for what it's worth, but there was a recent study that came out, and I've been quoting it to Lindsay and other moms about people who have a kind of relationship where they make fun of each other mm-hmm. and they mess with each other mm-hmm. and like are sarcastic in their relationship. This study showed that they live longer and they have higher quality relationships. and I was like, see, Lindsay, this is what I've been trying to tell you, you know, cause that is typically how guys, mm-hmm. you know, and we can take it too far. I've taken it too far. Mm-hmm. Had to apologize at times. But I'm saying that to say that when people come up and mess with you, because we mess with you about mm-hmm. how you say "bury," mm-hmm. you know, things.
Yeah,
you
know. A lady wanted to bake me something.
Yeah,
and she goes, "Would you like blueberry pie?" And that makes me feel good because there are certain things that are sticky with people,
mm-hmm. like berries.
Berries,
they're sticky.
Yeah. We want them to stick to trust God and take a nap.
Yeah,
we want them to stick to the gospel.
Yes,
but there are other things, other nuances of the individual people.
Yeah.
You know, just like when Pastor Matt preaches, you know, you're going to hear what I know is true.
Yeah.
What I know is true.
Yeah.
And when Dave Arbogast preaches, you know you're going to see a picture of his daughters.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. And people love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you preach, you're going to have a baseball reference.
There's going to be a movie reference, a baseball reference, a funny story.
Yeah.
I told the story of the Spinal Tap.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. Because
I did listen to your message, by the way, but I was driving, and so part of it cut out. I didn't hear that part.
Oh, and we're going to talk about the driving.
Okay.
It worked into Psalm 27 because I really had to live out the first verse,
yeah.
Which is, you know, you are my light and my salvation, of whom shall I fear?
Yeah.
You are my stronghold, of whom shall I be afraid? And I was repeating that out loud at midnight in the ER on a gurney.
Yeah.
While a guy came in with the it's the largest needle they have. There is no larger needle yes, than a needle yeah. that sucks your spinal fluid out. And when
who he, shall you fear? A nurse tech with a needle. Yeah.
Well, this great hospital. Loved.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's the Taj Mahal. It's the Ritz-Carlton of hospitals.
It's nice. Yeah. It's very nice. Cherokee Northside is what we're talking about.
Yeah. But at midnight, and I had been there for 6 hours, and at midnight, you know, they're treating me like I have bacterial meningitis because they have to.
Yeah.
They know I have
meningitis.
Which
is the bad one.
That's the bad one. That's the one that kills you in a few hours.
Yeah.
Turns out I had viral meningitis. But he comes in and they've got 5 IVs in me. And they've pumped every possible thing in me to alleviate the possibility that it's bacterial. And he comes in with a tray, and there's little needles, little tiny little needles.
Yeah.
And then there's this, it's about the size of a Bic pen. And
then there's this Bigfoot needle.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Andre the Giant needle.
He takes the little needle to numb the skin, but they're not numbing your spine.
Yes.
And he goes, all the way in.
Oh, I can't.
All the way in. And he's moving it around like a flashlight, trying to get to the right place.
Mm.
And that's when I said this in the sermon, that's when I gave up the location of the submarines.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have given up all of the state secrets at that point. But here's the best part. When I was talking about having shingles, which is, again, it fit into the verses.
Yeah.
Not that there's a verse on shingles. I said, hey, the appropriate way to respond when somebody says they have shingles, there's only one response. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
And I made the whole congregation say it.
Say it.
I said, I have shingles. And everybody said, I'm so, sorry.
Yeah.
But somebody came up afterwards and said, oh man, I hate needles too.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not a need. Yeah. They were fracking back then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Drill, baby, drill.
Yeah. They were fracking.
That was spontaneous.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was good.
Did not use that before. Yeah. All right.
All that to say, when somebody makes fun of us,
yes,
we have good relationships.
Yes, totally okay. Yeah. And anytime somebody has something going on in their life, can I pastor the folks for
Please.
A second here?
This is what this is for.
Anytime somebody comes up to you and says anything going on in their life, don't one-up them.
No.
Don't. I don't want to hear that your grandfather had shingles and lost his eye.
Yeah.
I have shingles. It's painful. I know.
Yes.
What? Just say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Somebody comes up with a broken leg. So, oh man, I remember when I broke my wrist. Well, that's not the same.
Yeah. No, I think I probably have said this before in a message, but we probably need to do a series on that. And we will go through, we talked about this, you and I were talking about this last week, just about grief, like going, doing the Book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, because we have a whole book about it, you know, and helping us process grief. But yeah, that's a great pastoral point to people. It's like, when someone tells you about something that's going on with them, don't let your first response be about something that's going on with you.
Or that has happened to you.
Or it's happened to
you. Or you know somebody that it's happened to.
Yes, because that does them no good.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
And we all do this. Again, I've been guilty of it, but I do try to be conscious of it. Mm-hmm. Like when someone tells me something that they're going through, just let it be about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to insert myself or my feelings or my story in any kind of way, you know, which ironically, the more you do that, the more you help, like you make it about them, the more friends you'll have, you know, the more you make it about you, the less you'll have.
Yeah.
You
know? So. Yeah. And it's real easy to say, man, I'm sorry you're going through that.
Yeah. And just ask, you can ask a simple question. How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
You know, how are you doing?
Yes.
You know, just engage in that way, not start talking about your life or story.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how we're always just going in different directions here. Cause that's engaging.
Yeah.
That's why people are clamoring for a new episode.
I don't know if they're clamoring.
I think clamor. Yeah.
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 I always think of a seal like, you know,
yeah, there's, a team.
Now somebody's going to come up and do that.
There is a team member And I won't say the person's name.
Yeah.
And I won't say where they serve in the kids' lobby in Canada.
Yeah.
but they clamor.
Yeah.
They're excited that there's going to be a new one.
No. And again, that's why we do it, you know, like it is, it's a great format. I want to do it better. Like, you know, we've talked about it. We just haven't done it yet. Whatever season this is, I don't know if we're counting seasons, but
I have no idea.
We do want to redo the set and make it even nicer. This is mm-hmm. something that we will continue mm-hmm. to put energy in and make it better. Just because the medium of video like this is very effective in mm-hmm. today's world. People are much more, you know, willing to watch that. So I think it's a great tool and something we want to invest more in. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we're just getting started
yes.
with this, which is great.
Have you seen the dogs doing the podcast?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
I've seen the babies. I know that's become very popular.
The babies hysterical. You yes. got to watch the dogs because they're very short. They're like 10 seconds.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the dog will say something and the other dog will, you know, give them the jam.
Yeah.
And then they laugh.
Yes.
It's hysterical.
Yes. I have, again, I've seen the baby ones, mm-hmm. Which is so funny. You know, I mean, AI is, we can even talk about that today. Mm-hmm. Obviously it's pretty amazing what it can do. But I actually saw a post the other day that talked about how back in the day when the animators were actually drawing,
mm-hmm.
the movies, you know, and just like, you can tell, you know, if AI did it or somebody right. else did it, you know, or somebody did it in real life. But I mean, we're not watching those AI clips to actually think babies are talking like that. It's just funny.
No,
you know,
no, though there was a dog that I was like, that dog actually talked.
Yeah, he could have said something there. Yeah.
Interesting that you brought up AI. There's a seminar, a webinar coming up the end of August, and I saw it in my email today. I think I'm going to sign up for it because it's four churches.
Yeah.
To not only know how to utilize it, but what to avoid.
Yeah.
So I'm going to check that out.
No, and that's good because I did reference ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Like these names they come up with last week in the message, and so I don't think that it's inherently wrong. Like Lindsay, she's like in our home, like we'll have a bare wall and she like put into ChatGPT or what I think that's what the one she's using. Like, give me ideas for decoration for this. Like, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So AI can be extremely helpful, or summarize this for me, you know, that kind of stuff. But the danger of it is when, just like anything else, and the point I made in the message was it learns you over time and learns the answers that you prefer,
mm-hmm.
Which again goes mm-hmm. right into the whole idea of voices and just confirms certain things that you already believed. Mm-hmm. And so I think you still have to use discernment.
Right.
You know, in it.
Yeah. I read something this morning that it actually diminishes your cognitive skills. After time.
That was, and I made reference to this as well. And so I looked it up just in case we did talk about it today. But yeah, it was actually MIT did a study that came out over this summer that talked about the effect of AI on your brains. And not just in the sense of like how it wire shapes us, but mm-hmm. the point of it is they looked at younger people specifically. And I think the range was like 18 to 39 was the range of people that they were looking at, something like that. And the younger that you are using it and you didn't learn critical thinking skills, like you're still shaping those critical thinking skills, and you just started using ChatGPT or any AI software to like write a paper for you. That the younger that you are and you didn't learn how to write a paper yourself and you didn't learn how to think critically for yourself,
right.
but you just use technology to do it. And I don't mean this like negatively, but just the dumber you become.
Yeah.
In the sense of literal smarts, like you don't, but it's not just that. It's like you actually, it's like those muscles atrophy in your
yes.
brain.
Yes.
And you no longer know how to think critically. You no longer know how to form a sentence. You no longer know how to
write a letter.
You can't write a letter. You can't do all that stuff. And so what they talked about was the danger of it. You know, someone like myself or you who, when we were growing up learning and our brains were still developing, you know, your brain develops till you're 25, 26. Mm-hmm. We didn't have those tools, so we were having to do it ourselves. So we were building those muscles. But the younger the generation is that starts using them, they don't ever develop those muscles. No.
Manual typewriters, kids.
Yes, yes. So therefore, it's just talk, and it was talking about, and again, you can go look this up, the MIT study on the effects of AI. It was new. It's still being peer reviewed and all that kind of stuff. But again, it was, the findings of it were alarming to the point to where, and I've made this, you know, we've talked about this. I've made comments and sermons about why parents should not allow their kids to be on social media, at least until they're 18, because it literally rewires their brains. The same thing is true with AI, but not just rewiring their brains socially, relationally, but it also rewires their brains on, like, it incapacitates them to think critically. Mm-hmm. So now we would have a whole generation of people that would grow up and would have to have a computer think for them.
Right.
Well, that's when it starts getting real scary. Like, if they no longer know how to think for themselves. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, it was, it was quite interesting and scary at the same time of like, I think the younger you are, the more careful you have to be with it.
Yeah.
And not use a tool, that is thinking for you so that you don't know how to think critically for yourself.
That's great. That, well put.
Yeah.
And it's a voice. It is one of the voices that people are listening to right now. And that's why we're doing this foundational series called Voices. Before we get to that, I know we've been all over the place. And I do want to acknowledge that your time off was not restful.
Yeah. Not only, we've been all over the place in this episode. I've been all over the place.
Yes. You guys have had a really rough few months.
We have. And I referenced it. I don't know if I referenced it in every gathering. I know I referenced it at least in two, maybe three. But yeah, and Lindsay and I, you know, just in our life, you know, have a job. We both work. Our kids growing up, I'm in school. Then we were also moving over the summer. But then, you know, that's kind of normal life stuff, but it was already stressful. But yeah. Then in May, Lindsay's first cousin, at the beginning of May, her first cousin passed away. The end of May, her grandfather on her dad's side passed away. And then 2 weeks ago, her grandmother on her mom's side passed away. So in the last 2.5-3 months, there's just been a lot of death in our family. And also my sister who had breast cancer many years ago and has treated for that, has been doing well. I don't even know if I said this to y'all. They found a couple other spots that were concerning.
No.
I don't even think I've said that. This was in the craziness of everything else about a month ago, because she had breast cancer, but then they found a couple other spots like in her shoulder, and somewhere else. Again, they think it's treatable. They're not saying the cancer is back. They were just, you know, spots that were concerning.
Right.
So they put her on some new medicine and they feel like that can handle it. Well, then a few weeks later after that, she started having a lot of just other health issues, gastro issues. And she thought it was as a result of the medicine, the new medicine. Well, come to find out it was her gallbladder. So then she had to have emergency gallbladder surgery. 3 weeks ago now, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So in between, like before Lindsay's grandmother died, my sister had that emergency surgery. Then we knew Lindsay's grandmother was getting close to dying. So we drove to Texas to go see her because we didn't know when she was going to die. And we wanted to see her while she was still awake and aware.
Which is 10 hours.
It's 10 hours one way. Yeah, so 20-hour round trip. So we went and saw my sister in Arkansas first, then went and saw her grandmother, then came back. And thank God we did, because then the next week she passed away. So that was last week. So then we had to turn right around and drive back to Texas. So within like a week period, we had driven over 40 hours on the road.
Which has to be a personal best.
Oh, it was. Not one that I was trying to break.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. There's some truckers listening right now going, 40 hours.
40 hours, that's nothing, yeah. You know.
Yeah, but 40 hours in a car with your family.
Oh, man.
I didn't mean your family.
No.
I wouldn't want to go with my family.
No, I didn't take it that way.
Yeah.
No, it's just tough on the family. Like, yeah. You're just all together, mm-hmm. You know. So, yeah, it has just been the last 3 months. And we knew this summer wasn't going to be like super relaxing because again, we were moving, mm-hmm. You know? And so we were kind of preparing for that, but then just the string of deaths and, you know, then we drove to Florida to do a wedding, which was awesome. You know, Hernan's son got married. So that wasn't even in the 40 hours. So that was 7 there, 7 back. So it was more or closer to 60 hours within 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Because those were three trips very close to each other.
Very close to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had Give a Kid a Chance in there. You know, like,
yeah.
So
Lindsay is extremely involved
in. Yeah. I mean, she leads the vast majority of all of that centrally for mm-hmm. us, you know, all the organizing, working with the schools, all that stuff. So yeah, needless to say, you know, people would ask me like when I came back, hey, did you have a restful break? And I was like, well, it depends on what you mean by rest.
Yeah.
You know, it was restful in the sense, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I didn't have to preach. Mm-hmm. So that was good.
Yeah.
Like it was mentally restful. So I and the funny thing is whenever I take my preaching break, again, I'm still doing work. Like,
right.
I had several meetings. I went to Chicago twice for our church planning network. So
I flew.
I didn't drive. So that was awesome. I flew in June and then in July on top of this other travel. And then I had to come in for a few meetings, you know, for work. So I was still doing other things, but I just wasn't preaching. But again, thank God I wasn't preaching. Mm-hmm. If I was having to preach during all of that, no. That had just been mentally.
We wouldn't have let you.
No, and I appreciate that, you know. But that's the hard part, like going back, especially this, like last week, we left on Thursday morning. So I pre-recorded the Thursday night, mm-hmm. or I pre-recorded the message that we showed on Thursday night, Wednesday morning. And you, Chad, everybody was like, hey, we can either just show that or somebody else can preach for you. And I was like, I know, but I was just off and I want to preach this.
Right.
Like, I'm excited about this. Mm-hmm. So we drove back Saturday night and then I preached it Sunday. And then Lindsay, our artist development team, had an offsite Sunday night.
Right.
So then turned right around and go out of town for 2 days again. Anyway, so yeah, it was at least mentally restful, mm-hmm. but emotionally, relationally, mm-hmm. physically, it was not.
There's a reason why I use that to segue into this. Number one, for just people to pray for you guys.
For sure. I appreciate that.
Pray for Mary. That is Pastor Jason's sister.
Yeah.
You know, there are difficult seasons in ministry, mm-hmm. because there are other things other than life that just come up.
Yeah.
So yeah, pray for them. But I also wanted to ask this question. The first two messages in the series Voices have been very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
You've been extremely passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes we are preaching these verses to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of the chaos of the last few months, have you been preaching these to yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I knew, you know, before my preaching break, we had talked about this series. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was coming. And that's one thing I like about taking a preaching break is it allows me typically, even when I was on sabbatical, I knew we did the Sacred Stewardship series coming mm-hmm. back, you know, and so I was thinking about my own stewardship, you know, and we preached through Acts 20, then we jumped into Ephesians. And so what I like about taking a break is when I know the text that's coming, I mm-hmm. get to dwell in it.
Yes.
You know, I get to live in it for a while, which I try to do all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I don't ever want to preach a text that I haven't wrestled with myself, mm-hmm. you know, and dug into, like, not just dug into myself, but dug into for myself.
Right.
Not just, I think a lot of preachers, they know how to dig into the text, but they're not digging into it for them. They're right. digging into mm-hmm. it for others, mm-hmm. you know? So I think we have to let it filter, you know, mm-hmm. we have to mm-hmm. drink it in as Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, eat this scroll, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Cause you know, there were so many things going on this summer
yeah.
that, you know, you have to discern what voice am I listening to right now?
Yes.
You know, whether the voice was, there's going to be another shoe to drop mm-hmm. or when is this going to stop? And you got to listen to, hey, is that God or is that a stranger?
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's where I got a chance to, practice that,
yeah.
you know, to live it. And I'm not, I do think, we probably won't get into this in the messages, but I do think, I did kind of reference this last week with the idea of a door mm-hmm. and the idea of like a wall. I think all of us have breaches in our wall. Mm-hmm. Like we yes. have areas where our defenses are down and we've given access mm-hmm. to people. And where I was going with that is the area for me, that is not, like my struggle is not in seasons like this. Like the voice that the stranger would say to me is not like, oh, God doesn't love you. Mm-hmm. Oh, God is whole. You know, God, yeah. where is God in all this? That is not the voice, the strange voice that I struggle with. Mm-hmm. And that's not uniquely, I want to say this, but take what I'm trying to say. That's not uniquely a woman problem or a man problem. Like it depends on your wiring and personality. Mm-hmm. But I do know at the same time, like that is a way maybe the stranger will attack Lindsay. And mm-hmm. so I have seen in my own wife and daughter and other just women that we pastor, mm-hmm. that might be a way that he attacks women. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not unique to women, but I have seen that one quite often.
Yep.
Like why? That why question. I do think one of the ways he attacks the stranger, the enemy attacks men, at least for me, in my experience, has been not like, God, why did you allow this to happen? My struggle a lot of times is like, oh, I got this. Mm. In fact, I was talking to one of my mentors over the break, which is another way I discern voices. I have wise men in my life that yeah. are older than me, been doing this longer than me, that speak into my life. And I was kind of processing with him. This was like mid-July. I was processing with him because we also had some other things happen within our own staff, you know, that we had to deal with as well. So I was talking to him about it and I made a comment about, and I've joked about it before, about control issues. Like I like to be in control, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why I like to drive, or I'll make fun of your driving or Chad's driving or someone else's driving. Like, you know, I like being the leader. I like being in charge, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I was kind of processing that with him and he was like, Jason, and he said something that was so profound, which is why I wanted to bring it up here. He said, Jason, I don't think it's control so much. And I've never had in all my years of counseling and pastoral, you know, other pastors pouring into me, no one's ever said it to me like this, which is why I had to really chew on it. So I don't think it's control as much as it is capacity. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I don't really think you're trying to like control everything. Mm-hmm. Cause he's like, you know, you can't, you know, he said, what I have found in he's the age of my father. He's 72. In fact, more, my father's birthday was just yesterday. He turned 73. He said, what I have found with leaders is it's not a control issue as much as is it a capacity issue. He said, leaders who like to lead, they just always think they can handle more.
Mm.
He said,
they think
they have a capacity for more. He said, so when something happens in your life, he said, whether it be a death, whether it be leading a church and getting your doctorate at the same time and a house, you know, mm-hmm. that you're moving to and all this stuff, he's like, a leader just thinks I can handle this. Mm. I have the capacity for this. And when he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, that is how the stranger lies to me. That is the voice that gets me is I got this. I can handle this until I realize I can't. Until it overwhelms me and I start getting, I don't really get anxious as much as I get exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, which then the exhaustion can lead to an anxiousness, like, and then I can get hyper controlling and obsessive about details and certain things, you know, based on my personality. So I mentioned that to say, and I'm glad you brought it up of like, I do think we have to know ourselves enough. Mm-hmm. Not only do we have to know the shepherd's voice, I think we also have to know ourselves.
Yeah.
To know how the shepherd would speak to us, and how the stranger would speak to us. Because the stranger is going to speak to me in a way that's different than how he's going to speak to you.
Yes, absolutely. And Psalm 27, you know, I started talking about that. And then when you're preaching voices, the enemy gets me with the same recording, the same, we would call them little t-truths, that I've heard my whole life.
Yeah.
And that's how the enemy gets me.
Yeah.
Hey, you thought you were over that, but let me drop this one on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be alone. No, you know, everybody leaves. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I know now that is not the voice of my shepherd.
Totally.
My shepherd would never say that to me. So, I mean, not that I can't succumb to the voice of the enemy, because I certainly can, because, you know, he'll call an audible at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that I'm now like, oh yeah, that's not my shepherd.
Yeah.
And that's why this whole shepherd stranger thing, it was, I hate to use this word again, sticky.
Yeah.
because we can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I woke up this morning. I'm just giving an example of somebody else. I woke up this morning and I got in my car and I'm driving to work and everything's going great. I'm listening to worship music and all of a sudden this thought comes into my head.
Yeah.
All right. That is not from God. No. God would never tell me that.
No. No. And again, that's why I do think whether we use this word sticky or transformative.
Transformative is good.
Probably better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sticky's kind of gross.
Yeah, I mean it's categorically understandable, and what I mean by that is, it's so important to think about not only the voices, but to think about okay, what categories am I using? And when I say categories, I'm talking about like if we go with the world's categories, because categories at the end of the day are definitions. Mm-hmm. How the world defines things. So am I going to go with how the world categorizes what marriage is? Am I going to go with how the world categorizes what happiness is, or what joy is, or what fulfillment is, or whatever? If I'm operating in the world's categories, then I'm operating by the world's definitions.
Yes.
Which if they're, again, going back to the words, if they're defined, if that's the logos, if that's what's defining things for me, that's the world. So when I'm thinking categories, I'm thinking about the world I'm living in. Then that world or that category is going to determine my outcome, you know, where I end up. And so what I love about it, the reason why it is transformative or sticky is at the end of the day, there's only two categories. There's only two definitions. What the word of God says and what the world says.
Yep.
And so when you see it clearly like that, when you read Jesus, and again, that's what was so transformative to me. And Chad mentioned this in the sermon that he preached. I love alliteration. I do. I love making things rhyme. And, you know, I wanted to be a rapper back in the day when my nickname was G-Money.
It was
in middle school.
Yeah.
When I read that in John 10, Jesus said thieves and robbers first, and then he said a stranger. So then naturally, and I think this is a gift that God's given me when I read a Bible, when I read a verse, I think God has given me an incredible gift to see something that's complex and make it simple.
Yes, he has.
That's a gift. And I can say that, and I don't mean it arrogantly. Like, that ain't from me. That's just God. And I do, I've been preaching long enough to know. I hear that from people. It's like, I've read that. I've heard this line 1,000 times. I've read that verse 100 times before and never saw that. And so when I, but the reason I get so excited about preaching is I just read it and I see it. And then when I see it, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to say it.
Right.
You know? So when I was reading that over the summer again, and kind of dwelling on that, it just became so clear and so transformative to be like, oh yeah, at the end of the day, there's only two voices. There's the shepherd and then there's a stranger. Now the stranger's voice might show up in a thousand different ways. Again, based upon my personality, my traumas in life, my upbringing, all of that stuff, he's going to attack me in a certain way. But that's why it becomes so paramount for all of us to know the voice of the shepherd, to know, again, going back to me, like thinking about capacity, when I start mine is almost more sinister because I think about Lindsay. Lindsay is one of, mentioned her in the message this weekend. Her birthday was on Sunday. I talked about the Holy Spirit having an East Texas accent because he speaks, like Lindsay is one of the most discerning and one of the most godly people I know that I've ever met in my entire life.
Yep.
And also one of the hardest working people I've ever met.
All of that is true.
Can organize. She's a force of nature.
Yes.
But what I have found with Lindsay being, and I don't think she would mind me sharing this with y'all. What I found with Lindsay is when the enemy's voice comes in, it will paralyze her.
Mm-hmm.
Like instantly paralyze her. And I look at her and I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, this, like God is with you. God has gifted you. Like you got this, you know? But then that's when I have to realize, well, but how he says that to her, it might paralyze her. But to me, it does the opposite. And this is why I think it's more sinister with me is I don't readily see it because with hers, it'll paralyze her. It'll become obvious fast. With me, it's the opposite. He won't paralyze me. He'll fire me up.
Mm.
To where I think I got this.
Interesting.
I've got the capacity for this.
Right.
So for her, it might paralyze her. And I was trying to think of a P word that would alliterate with that. It would paralyze her, but it propels me, you know, like,
we have a winner.
We have a winner there, people. And again, that's not uniquely a male and female thing. Although it, you know, I think there's some aspects to that. Maybe it's a personality thing. It's a wiring thing. It's a gifting thing. But what I'm saying is, but that can become my downfall, is it will propel me into action. And so where it might paralyze her, I'll take off running, but I'll take off running with no resource, with no grace. I'll just take off running and get to work. And then all of a sudden I'll burn out and not burn out in the psychological sense, although that can happen, but I'll get to a place where I just start operating out of my own strength and I won't recognize my weakness. And so therefore I won't ask for help from God, from his Spirit. God, give me the grace for this, which is why I pray the beginning of every message. It's a reminder to me.
Yeah.
I can't do this without him. So I say that to say, like, that's a unique way that I have to recognize, no, that's not the voice of the shepherd. Because the shepherd still will say in Psalm 46:10, be still, know I'm God. The shepherd will say, hey, my power is perfected in your weakness. You're weak right now, buddy. Don't buy into this voice that's telling you about a false sense of strength or security. Because once you buy into that, you're headed for a wall that you can't even see yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
He wants to lead us to
destroy ourselves.
A stream.
Yes.
Well, no, the enemy wants.
The enemy, yes. Yes.
Yeah, God wants to lead us to a stream.
To a stream. Yes, the enemy wants to lead us to destruction, you know. So again, I say that to say
about. That was good alliteration. You didn't even know it.
Yeah. It just happens. Yeah, it just comes out naturally. So I say all that to say, again, I don't remember what you were saying at the beginning because now I've talked so much, but.
I've got it. I know where I'm going.
Okay, good. That's what we're here for, you know. But I want our church, and this is why I think it's becoming a foundational thing like Abide.
Well, that was my next question.
Okay, good. See, the Spirit knows what he's doing. Where at the beginning of the year, we talk about, hey, you can't do anything without abiding in Christ. To where this becomes like a mid-year check-in that's like, okay, am I listening to the right voice?
Right.
You know, I'm 6 months into the year. Am I headed in the right direction? Or somewhere along the way, I bought into a lie, you know?
Yeah, and if you created your rule of life during the cohort, and we're doing a cohort again in January, during the 21 days of prayer and fasting, if you have created that rule of life, maybe you haven't looked at it in a while. What a great way 6 months later to do the checkup and to say, well, 8 months later, to do the checkup and go, hey, how am I doing in my rule of life that I created? Am I actually doing this in a way that I'm listening to the voice of the shepherd?
Yeah. Yeah. Am I listening? And it is 6 months, by the way. Like if they start their rule of life, I know August is the eighth month.
Yes.
I know what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But if we start it basically in February, then it'll be 5 months till July or through June. So then July is like the seventh month. So it's 6 months. You were right. You know,
thank you.
February to July.
Okay.
Anyway, side note.
And I can't drive.
Yes. No, you can't. Driving Miss Daisy. Driving Mr. David.
I drive well.
It's not that you don't drive well. You drive very carefree.
Yes.
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 Okay, I'm sometimes there are curbs
and
other cars.
I drive with the joy of the Lord.
The rest of us don't. we don't ride with it. We love each other. We're going to have a long life and fulfilling relationships. It becomes, I had to think about where we were there for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want it to become a check-in to say, okay, I said this in January, you know, that this is how I wanted to live my life. Am I abiding in him? Because if I'm abiding in him, I'm listening to him. Do I recognize his voice? Are there some areas in my life where, yeah, man, I've been listening to that. I've been being shaped by a different voice here, you know? And I know like this last week's message, some people may like it. Some people may not. That's not the point, but I know I kind of got for about 15, 20 minutes there towards the end, I got philosophical, and talking about like the Alistair McIntyre quote about the narrative, the story we believe, and then teleology and telos and logos. You know, some people, they nerd out on that stuff like I do. Some people are like, what does this have to do with the scripture? It's like, well, it's a philosophical concept, ironically, that John actually picks up on because he was writing primarily to a Greek audience. That's why he calls Jesus the Logos. But what in essence, what the point I was trying to make, and hopefully it was clear, is like whatever word you believe is going to determine the life that you live.
Yes.
And the direction that you're going or your destiny. And if that word, that logos, is not the word or the voice of your shepherd, then you're not being led out into pasture. You're not being led out into life abundantly. You're being led out by a stranger who's trying to steal you from you and kill from you and destroy you. So again, going back to the categories and the words and the definitions, it becomes incredibly clear, the concept, but then becomes incredibly, it can become incredibly difficult. Like, well, dang, well, do I know the voice of my shepherd that well? That I can distinguish every thought that's like, no, he wouldn't say that to me. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't tell me, well, if it feels good, do it. He wouldn't tell me, well, go with what feels right. Mm-hmm. Go with your gut. That was where the whole door illustration, the Monty Hall problem came in, of like, it's in our best interest to switch doors, you know, to let Jesus be the door, to let Jesus be the filter or the person and his word by which that determines my access and others' access to me, you know?
Yep. The murmuring when you said Monty Hall. If you're over 45, you're murmuring.
Yeah, you knew.
Yeah. Yeah. You were leaning over to your kids. Oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
We have so much to talk about with the Voices series.
Yes, we do.
We're going to hold and talk about that next time.
We can do this again since we're back.
Yes, we can. We can. There will be, Lord willing, there will be another podcast. Because I do want to talk about the rhythm of our church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have preached on rhythms a lot over the years and healthy rhythms. Yeah. And that's why we do abide in the beginning of the year. But a healthy rhythm of understanding and remembering and being reminded of who we're abiding in.
Yeah.
Than who we're listening to,
mm-hmm.
I think is a very good, healthy rhythm for our church.
Yeah.
So we'll get into all that.
Yeah, it is. And again, we don't have, you know, all that. That is written, it's written in sand right now. It's not written in stone yet for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a hope for us. Because again, we're always fighting against the rhythms of the world.
Yes.
And the way we're being formed
mm-hmm. yeah.
or deformed mm-hmm. by the rhythms of the world. That we do want to create mm-hmm. rhythms within the church that mm-hmm. operates as a world within a world
mm-hmm.
that transforms us.
Yeah, you know? I'm not saying put it all on your calendar. What I'm saying is it's healthy to start a year abiding in Christ.
Yeah.
And then at some point, check in again and go,
exactly.
Hey, whether we do a series or not.
Yes, yes.
If we're not checking in and discerning which voice we're listening to,
yeah.
and if we're not being reminded, this is the vine that I'm connected to.
Yes.
And if I'm not connected to that vine, I'm not going to bear fruit because I'm going to be dead.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's where, again, that idea of, you know, January is a great kickoff because the beginning of the year, it just feels like July, the end of July mm-hmm. is another, not that what we toyed with is not another 21 days of prayer and fasting, but a 7-day
mm-hmm.
prayer and fast coincides with a worship weekend again. Possibly having another men's and women's night
yep.
just to pull together the men and women again as a mm-hmm. check-in. And then it kind of relaunches out again, groups,
yep.
Kicks them off, formation groups. Not that all of our lives revolve around the school calendar, but it kind of does, even if you don't have kids in school. It's just kind of
if you're driving.
Yeah.
there's a lot of traffic.
Yes. Well, people, January, people are motivated,
mm-hmm.
you know, June and July, we take a break, you know, vacation, that kind of stuff. Then August, you kind of kick off mm-hmm. again, you know. So it's just kind of natural that way.
Yeah, I was thinking over the weekend, I would love to have been a fly on the wall in people's formation groups and community groups during Voices.
Yeah.
Hearing, yeah. Hey, this is the voice that I'm listening to.
Yeah, and that's another thing. And I actually mentioned it the first Thursday night and I didn't do it that Sunday. So if you were on Thursday night for the first week of this series, you heard me acting out the sheep. I'm like,
yeah,
you
know, that was so funny.
I'll bring that back. But then I said it, I think, at the 11:15 this last weekend of like, that's why it's so important for sheep to be in relationship with other
yes.
sheep.
Yes.
To help them discern the voice of mm-hmm. the shepherd.
Yeah, I was going to look up that quote, but you just said
yes,
it.
Yeah. Like sheep need to be around other sheep. And that's why groups and relationships are important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a solo project. In fact, I'll kind of preempt this one here. This will be a point in a message either this week or next week. So you heard it here first on the podcast. So we'll know who listens because they'll have been preempted on the point. But you know the phrase, it takes one to know one?
Mm-hmm.
That's a true phrase. But what we mean by the phrase, it takes one to know one, is I kind of going back to the whole grief thing, like, when you are sarcastic, it takes somebody who's sarcastic to know that you're, you know, so it mm-hmm. takes one to know one. We use that as a phrase to talk about like, oh, I know you because I'm like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another phrase that I heard that it's awesome. And I can't remember who said this first. I'll find out, but it speaks to what I'm saying. It's not just that it takes one to know one. It takes two to know one. And the phrase is, instead of saying it takes one to know one, it actually takes two to know one. And the point is, I can't know myself just by being by myself.
Mm.
It takes two people. It takes another person in my life to help me know myself.
Wow. That just happened to me Monday night.
Really?
Yes. and I'll say this. I went to dinner with Jason Woodward,
yeah.
our campus director in Jasper,
yeah.
who has just been through a lot with
yeah.
his leg injury, 15 surgeries,
yeah.
and we're really close. And I said something about, you know, just where I am
yeah.
in life, and he called me out on it.
Yeah.
He goes, that's a bunch of, can I say crap?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a load of crap.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, it takes two.
It takes two. To know one. Yeah.
And I said, man, I so appreciate you calling me out on that because I've been believing that.
Yes.
And it wasn't it wasn't anything that I've been telling myself for years. It was just one place in a snapshot in time of where I am right now. And he goes, no, I am not going to let you say that.
Yes, exactly. And not only that, but it's like you needed somebody that was objective outside of you to see that.
Who loved me.
Who loves you. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's not just the truth of that, although that is true. It's that you don't possess the capacity to even see yourself.
Yes.
Again, it's like we cannot see our own faces, not without something else, not without a mirror. So another person becomes the mirror by which we can see ourselves. And so what I love about that concept, and again, we'll talk about this in this series with voices, is it actually takes two sheep to know one sheep. You know, a sheep can't know itself by itself.
Oh man.
I can't know myself by myself. And also, you know, you think about the shepherd, like, so he is the second one. So it takes me and the shepherd to know me. But it also takes me and the sheep. Like anytime the Bible references sheep, it's never singular. I mean, I know the story about leaves the 99 and go gets the one, but the point is, what's so devastating about that story is not that the he doesn't love the one more than he loves the 99. That's how it's always kind of taught. Mm-hmm. No, but he knows that one has to be with the 99. Mm. And if that one stays by himself or stays by itself, not only is it lost its relationship to hear the voice of the shepherd, but it's lost its community. Mm. So he's not just trying to get the one. It's not just like, it's always talked about like Jesus loves the one. He went and got the one, which is true. But then you're like, but then there's this whole 99. You're like, doesn't he love them? Yeah, he does. But he's going to get the one, not just to get him back to himself, but get him back with the 99. Mm.
If that doesn't point to community groups and formation groups. And if you're listening and you're not familiar with formation groups and you just started coming to Revolution, go on the website, front page of the website,
the Abide Cohort,
and you go through that and everything is there for you.
Yes.
So great season in the life of the church. There's a lot of growth. If you can, if you normally go to the, and I want to preface this, if you normally go to the 9:30, and that works for your family and your kids, and you serve at 8 o'clock or you serve at 11:15, that's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. But if you can go to the Thursday night gathering
or the
8 o'clock gathering,
those are the first two. Like,
yeah,
if you can go to those two.
Yes.
We're talking about 9:30 in Canton. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're in Jasper, if you live in Jasper, come to Canton, stop it.
Yeah.
Go to Jasper.
If you live 5 feet north of Ball Ground.
Yes. If you live north of Highway 20, go to Jasper. Yes.
It makes the experience of coming to church for somebody new better.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And you are sacrificing. You're sacrificing your seat for maybe somebody's salvation.
Totally. Yeah. You're making room, you know, and we have a space problem. Definitely in Canton and coming even in Jasper. And so it is our vision, you know, to multiply again at every level, disciples, leaders, artists, groups, campuses, and churches. So Lord willing, in the near future, we'll have more campuses. So we'll be able to offload more people. And that is our strategy. So we're praying through that and hopefully we have a few staff things again, like we need a Jasper campus pastor, you know, Chad, we need to get Chad back to his main role centrally. And so we're praying through that. So yeah, pray as well that God will continue to give us grace and wisdom to know how to lead his sheep, you know, in a way that helps them grow.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. This has been the Grow People Podcast. If you want a transcript, just write down everything we say or watch it on YouTube where there actually is a transcript. Mm-hmm. Our producer is Brian Damereau. Our video technician is the king.
King Keon.
Keon Sadiji. Our key grip is Jaka Puszczakowski, not to be confused with Jenna Puszczakowska. I didn't know that. The last name of
you're being serious
of Eastern European.
I didn't know that either.
No,
so it's pronounced differently.
Yes, yeah.
Is it spelled differently?
Yes,
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think it's a Y at the end of a male name and an A at the end of a female name.
Yes. I mean, I understand gendered language, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it applied to their surname, like their last name.
I think, yeah. Yeah. Wow. I hope I'm not wrong.
And Jenna is Cuba's wife. That's
yes,
what we're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Our film director is Marcos
Guardiola.
Well played.
We have the best names. Mm-hmm. Best people.
Our head of doctrine and theology. If you don't know her, try to meet her in the lobby. Thea Logan. Our chief evangelist is Salvation. Our backsliding prevention officer is Lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
Lukewarm, get it? Our director of Swedish witnessing is Bjorn Again.
My favorite.
Our expert on Russian eschatology, Pete of Hell. That's my favorite. Our director of holiness is Mortification. Our staff counselor is Les Moody. Our giving coordinator is Generosity. Our nativity coordinator from France, Beth Lacham. Lacham, she's French. Our co-pastors of Plagues, Manny Locusts, and Lance Boyles. Our sabbatical director, Trip Long. Mm-hmm. You experienced that. He did your itinerary.
Yeah.
Our missional expert is Sam Aria. Our resident Trinitarian is Holly Spirit. Strategist for the final batter is Irma. Irma, get
batter, final batter?
Batter. 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 Battle. Battle. Yeah.
I'm down for a final batter. Batter.
Batter's great.
I'll take that.
I desperately, when I was in the hospital, wanted pancakes from Cracker Barrel. you think of the weirdest things when you've like got when they're doing a spinal tap.
Yeah.
The executive director of spiritual warfare is D. Monic. Our head of our new AI initiative is Artificial. Artificial. Our director of Old Testament covenants is Sir. He was knighted.
Yeah.
Sir Comsize. Our video technician in charge of instant replay is Slow Moses, and the new one. Here we go.
We just brought him on.
I was giggling. our resident feline expert.
Feline expert?
Feline. Bartholomew. Also known as Cathaniel. Cathaniel, people. This has been the Grow People Podcast.
Do we need a feline expert?
No.
Okay, let's fire him.
No, but Bartholomew, also known as Cathaniel. You may never hear that one again.
If you're a cat person, there's some great churches.
We have cat people on our staff.
I know.
It's okay. All right, final saying.
Trust God and take a nap.
See ya.
Love you.